Alrighty, guys, tonight I want to share some good news with you. And it's called, This Is Your Personal Independence Day. Your Personal Independence Day. Guys, this week is the 4th of July week, right? On Wednesday, July 4th, what will we be celebrating as Americans? We'll be celebrating America's 231st birthday. What happened on July 4th many years ago? Back in 1776. America gained its independence from the oppressive kingdom of Great Britain, right? I'm going to read you a little bit of history here tonight on this. And this is what it says. It says, after hard debates, the Congress voted unanimously, 12-0, but secretly for independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain on July 2nd. The Congress reworked the text of the Declaration until a little after 11 o'clock, July 4th, when the 12 colonies voted for adoption and released an unsigned copy to the printers. And it says, Philadelphia celebrated the Declaration with public readings and bonfires on July 8th. Not until August 2nd would a fair printing be signed by the members of Congress, but even that was kept secret to protect the members from British reprisal. Alrighty. John Adams writes this to his wife Abigail, and this is what he says. John Adams writes this. He says, the second day of July 1776 will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Then he goes on to say, it ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. From this time forward, forevermore. Guys, at one time, the original colonies were under the oppressive control of Great Britain. They were under Great Britain's oppressive control. But by a sovereign act of God, we gained our independence from England. And guys, I share that with you tonight for this reason, to make a personal comparison in your own life. In your own life. You know, tonight, if you're not following Jesus or have slipped away in your walk with Him, your spirit is enslaved by the oppressive kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of eternal death, just like America was enslaved by Britain. But you know, tonight God wants to rescue you from the kingdom of eternal death and bring you into the kingdom of His eternal life. How? How is this done? How does God rescue you from eternal death into eternal life? By accepting His Son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior and Lord. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. You may have been, or maybe tonight, you're spiritually oppressed by the kingdom of darkness. God wants to deliver you tonight. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, 17. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Say that last part again. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Guys, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what you became? Your body became a temple of the living God, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16. When you said, Jesus, be my best friend, be my Savior, and my Lord, guess what? Your body became a temple of God. And what lives in the temple of God? The Spirit of God, right? See, when you accepted Jesus, upon accepting Jesus as your Savior, the Spirit of the Lord took up residence in your heart. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is freedom. So when the Spirit of God entered your life, guess what else entered? Freedom. So that when you leave this earth, when you pass on from this earth, your spirit comes out of your body and you go into heaven to be with God forevermore. That's right. There is freedom. You know, we do a lot of street ministry to the people on Friday nights here in downtown Tulsa, on the streets. And every time we share the gospel with them and they say the salvation prayer, occasionally I'll ask them, well, how did you feel after you prayed? And they'll say, well, I felt really good. Back on May, like mid-May, May 18th, we were on the streets at the Greyhound bus station. And there was this young man that we were ministering to. And guys, he had the most depressed look on his face. And we gave him, I think, something to drink and maybe something to eat. And then I asked him, I said, sir, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And he basically said, I don't know. I do not know. I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And he had to think about it. He was really thinking about what I said. I said, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior tonight? Would you like to accept him into your life? Would you like to accept Jesus? And he said, well, let me think about it a little longer. I said, well, sir, the next hour, the next day is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity tonight, where would you spend it? Is it worth letting this night pass and possibly slipping into eternity without Jesus? That would be a great loss, sir. And he thought about it. He said, you know what? Thought about it for a couple of minutes. He said, all right, let's say the prayer. So he said the salvation prayer with me. And guys, I tell you, his face went from one of depression to inexpressible joy. And I asked him at the end of the conversation, I said, sir, let me ask you something. He said, what? I said, how did you feel after you prayed the salvation prayer? He said, I felt a whole lot better than before I prayed it. Amen? God is good. You know, when you accept Jesus into your heart, there's a freedom that comes to the inside of you. It's an awesome freedom. It's a great feeling. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Amen? So when you accepted Jesus, you were rescued spiritually. Your spirit was rescued from eternal death and brought into eternal life. But guys, I've got some news for you tonight. The thing is this. Though you may be following Jesus tonight, the oppressive kingdom of darkness may still try to pop its ugly head in your life. You may be following Jesus tonight, and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, guys. But every so often, the kingdom of darkness may try to pop its ugly head in your life. And you might be saying tonight, well, Jonathan, what do you mean by that? Well, guys, I'm here to tell you tonight that financial lack and poverty is part of the kingdom of darkness. Sickness and disease is part of the kingdom of darkness. Emotional turmoil on the inside is part of the kingdom of darkness. Does that make sense? Condemnation is part of the kingdom of darkness. But the good news tonight is this. In every part of your life, financially, emotionally, physically, God wants to rescue you from the enemy's oppressive kingdom and bring you into the kingdom of His wholeness. You know, shalom in the Hebrew language, shalom. How many heard that word before? Shalom. Most people think shalom means peace, which it does. But shalom really means this. It means wholeness to your entire being. Spirit, soul, and body. It's what shalom means. And tonight, guys, the good news is this, is that God wants to liberate you. He wants to deliver you from the oppressive kingdom of the enemy in every part of your life. And bring you into the kingdom of His wholeness. Now look at this. Tonight you may be enslaved by the enemy's kingdom of financial lack and poverty. But what does God want to do for you tonight? God wants to bring you into the kingdom of His financial provision. What does Philippians 4:19 say? But my God shall supply all. Does it say some? But my God shall supply all of your need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, God is also known as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. So tonight, God wants to deliver you into his kingdom of financial provision. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17. Let's look at this story. You know, Jesus was also in financial need at one time. Matthew chapter 17, he and Peter were in financial need. Look at this. Matthew 17, verses 24 through 29. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. Verse 25. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from the others?" "From the others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." So guys, we would agree here that Jesus and Peter were what? In financial need, right? They didn't have any money to pay the tax collector. But Jesus went about to perform a miracle. He said, "Peter, open the mouth of the first fish that you catch. And in the mouth will be the money to pay the tax collectors." Guys, Jesus is the miracle working God. He can do the same for you. He can deliver you financially. He can deliver you into his kingdom of financial provision. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen? He wants to do it for you tonight. Tonight you may be enslaved by mental illness and depression. Guess what, guys? God wants to deliver you into his kingdom of clear thinking and peace. Look a few verses previous to this in Matthew 17, verses 14 through 19. Matthew 17, 14 through 19. Look what it says. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." Jesus replies, "O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy. And he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He said, "Because you have so little faith." You know, some mental illness is demonically induced, influenced. Some people who are dealing with mental illnesses, it's really a spiritual demon that is affecting them. And just like Jesus delivered this young man, he wants to deliver you tonight. Look at the rest of the story here. He says, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And tonight, guys, you may be dealing with mental illness, maybe depression, maybe a lack of peace on the inside. All God is looking for is faith. All things are possible to him who believes. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? It's impossible to please God without faith, guys. If you're dealing with mental illness tonight, you're being oppressed by mental illness, or you have no peace on the inside, tonight God wants to rescue you because he loves you so very much. All he's looking for is faith, childlike faith. How many trusted their daddy when they were real young? Some, but not all. Let's say you had a really good daddy and you were a little girl, 2 or 3 years old. Oh, you had no problem trusting daddy. He would provide your bed. He'd provide the roof over your head. He would provide the food that you eat. Not all of you had dads like this, but some of you who may have. He provided anything that you needed. You had childlike faith in daddy. No second thoughts about it. No doubts. Guys, that's the kind of faith that God is looking for in us. That childlike, blind faith in Him. If you can believe that He is able to rescue and deliver you tonight from turmoil and mental illness, guess what? He will do it. All He's looking for is trust. Like that little child. Amen? Does that make sense tonight? Alrighty. You know, I was in India several years ago, in North India. And there was this woman there from, a Caucasian woman was there in India at the YWCA with us outside. And my Indian friend was with me, and she was sitting there. And she started to argue with us. And she's like, you know, I started coming to India like 6 or 7 years ago, but probably now 10 years, because I fell in love with this Hindu teacher. He appears at night and gives me advice. He's so good to me, this Hindu leader in India. He's a godless man, but this is what she said. I fell in love with this man, and she kept arguing back and forth with us. Finally, my friend asked her, let me ask you something, ma'am. And she said, what? They were fighting back and forth. He said, is this teacher, this Hindu teacher, able to give you peace? And the conversation became silence. The understood answer was no. Who is the only one that can give you true peace in the midst of your storms? Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is the Prince of Peace. He wants to deliver you tonight from emotional turmoil on the inside and bring you into the kingdom of His peace. All you have to do is believe. He gives us a peace, guys, that surpasses any human understanding. Tonight, guys, you may be enslaved and oppressed by physical sickness and disease. Jesus, our miracle-working God, wants to deliver you into His kingdom of physical healing. Do you agree with that tonight? If so, say amen. He is both willing and able to heal your sick body. Tonight you may be struggling with this physical illness and you're oppressed, you're enslaved, it's like chains around your body. Tonight God wants to deliver you. Not only does He want to, He is willing and able. You know, some of us may have the question in our minds, well, you know, I know God is able, He's got the power to heal any disease. But is He willing to heal me? Yes, look at this, Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. Show you here that God is willing to heal you guys. Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. When He came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed Him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Him and said, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. I am willing, He said. Be clean. Immediately He was cured of his leprosy. The man had the question that maybe some of you have tonight. God, are You willing to heal my sick body? What does the Word of God say? Yes, I am willing, is what Jesus said. I am willing. Jesus Christ, the Word of God tells us, is the exact representation of God. If Jesus was willing to heal 2,000 years ago, guess what, guys? God is still willing to heal you tonight. And He's able to heal you. He's got the power to heal any disease. Look at Matthew 9. Two blind men. Matthew chapter 9. He's willing for Matthew 8 verses 1 through 4, and He's also able to do it. Matthew 9, 27 through 30. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him, calling out, Have mercy on us, Son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus asked them what? "Do you believe that I am able? Do you believe that I have the power to heal you?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." It was an emphatic yes, a definite, confident yes. "Jesus, we believe that you can restore our sight." That's the same thing God is looking from us tonight. He's looking for faith. That definite yes. "Yes, God, I believe that you're able to heal me. I trust you with childlike faith that you're able to heal me. You're willing and able." What does the Word of God say about Jesus in Hebrews 13? "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." This means that Jesus never changes. The Jesus who healed 2,000 years ago is the Jesus that is able to heal you today. Nothing is impossible with God. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell the mountain of sickness in your life to move from here to there, and it will move. If you agree, say amen. 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 You know, I was in India back in May, June, July, early August of 1999. And I was just kind of stressed out. I was working hard. And I became really, really sick in early June of 1999. I had a fever. It was, my body felt like it was on fire. Just really, really sick. And I felt like I could not minister. I was just burning up. But you know what? I believe that God was able to heal me. Yes, we did. I took some medicine, and God uses medicine to heal us a lot of times. Took some medicine. They put wet towels on me. But guys, I believed in faith that Jesus could heal me. I went to bed that night. I said, "Jesus," on the inside, I just believed, "Jesus, you can heal me." Guess what, guys? Within a few hours, that fever broke. There is power in the name of Jesus to deliver from any sickness and disease. And He wants to do it for you tonight, guys. You know, tonight, guys, maybe you're being oppressed by condemnation tonight, by the kingdom of condemnation. Guys, I'm here to tell you tonight that the devil is the author of guilt and condemnation. What does the Word of God say? Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans Chapter 8. Look at this. Therefore, Romans 8, 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." For those who are in Christ Jesus. Tonight, guys, God wants to deliver you out of condemnation and bring you into His loving acceptance. You know, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you were clothed with a robe of righteousness. So that when God now looks at you, He does not see your sinful past. Guess who He sees? He sees Jesus. When you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, when God looks at you, He does not see sin. He sees Jesus. He sees you as justified, just as if I had never sinned. He sees you as in right standing with Him. So whenever the devil tries to bring up your past and make you guilty, say, "Devil, the Word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ." And the devil will have to flee, because there is power in the name and in the Word of Jesus. Amen? Alrighty. He wants to deliver you in every part of your life tonight, guys. One final question. How do you receive God's kingdom of wholeness in every part of your life? How are you delivered into God's kingdom of shalom, of wholeness in every part of your life? First and foremost, you got to accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Maybe some of you sitting here tonight have never accepted Jesus as Savior at any time in your life. You're not walking with God. Maybe you were walking with God at one time and you maybe got angry with God. Maybe you lost something. You lost a loved one, maybe a career, a job, a vehicle, a house. And you got upset with God. And you just started to drift further and further away from God. And maybe tonight you need to recommit your life to Him. You know, guys, if you're living in willful rebellion and disobedience to God, He is not obligated to deliver you or bless you. If anybody here tonight is saying, you know what, God, I've got this on my own, stay out of my life, I'm not going to follow you, I'm upset with you, God. Guess what, guys? God is not obligated to bless anybody who is walking in rebellion and disobedience to Him. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Isaiah 1, verses 19 through 20. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So first and foremost, guys, if you want to be delivered into God's kingdom of wholeness tonight, first accept Jesus as your Savior. Start this friendship with God. Second, diligently seek relationship with God in prayer. Look at Matthew 6:33. We've all heard it, but it bears repeating. Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Guys, a lot of people, and I've said this before in the past, a lot of people come to God when they have a need. They're only looking for the gift from the hand of the giver of gifts. A lot of people. Maybe some of us have done that in the past. I have. They're looking for the gift. But what God is saying tonight is this: I want you to look for relationship with Me. I want you to seek Me with your entire being. And when you seek Me for who I am, then you'll get the things, the good gifts that I have. If you seek Me just for who I am, you will get My good gifts as well. Financial provision is a good gift. Healing and wholeness is a good gift. Emotional peace is a good gift. If you seek God in prayer, if you seek Him just because He is God all alone, guess what? You'll get the good gifts as well. You'll get the financial provision. You'll get the emotional peace. You will get healing in your body. But you've got to seek Him first. And His kingdom. And then number three, you've got to believe in faith and speak it over your life. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Paul the Apostle writes this, quoting from the Old Testament. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith we also believe and therefore speak. You know what? You've got to believe in faith and speak it over your life that it's God's will to give you all that His kingdom includes. You've got to believe it on the inside with your believer, with that trust, with that faith, that it's God's will to rescue you, to deliver you into His kingdom of wholeness, and then speak that over your life. Let's say it tonight. Let's practice. God, I love You. I believe that You're able to heal my body. I come to You tonight with childlike faith, believing that You can heal me. And guys, He will. Sometimes it takes a process of time. So speak that over your life. If it's for financial provision, speak it over your life in Jesus' name. We believe, therefore, we speak. And then, you know, some of you who have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues in this heavenly prayer language, start praying to God. Maybe some of you have not received that. Well, pray in English to God. He understands. He'll respond to you. He loves you so very much, guys. So very much. Guys, this is your personal Independence Day. God tonight wants to deliver you from the enemy's oppressive kingdom of darkness in every area of your life. And He wants to bring you too into His kingdom of wholeness. If you agree with that tonight, say amen. Amen. He loves you so very much, guys. So very much. This is your personal Independence Day. But it all starts with accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you say, Jesus, I don't want you. God, I don't want you. Guess what, guys? You're rebelling. And God is not obligated to bless or deliver anybody who is rebelling and disobeying Him. Rebelling against and disobeying Him. He's not obligated.